This is Ryan here, and I have Stephanie Valenti on for part two. She has taught over 3,000 executives on strategic planning and forecasting, has had four different executive jobs and on the go-to-market side. That's really amazing things. And if you haven't listened to episode number one, go back and check that out. We talked about creating a sustainable, scalable business during chaos, right? Which is what's happening specifically with AI. And now what we're doing is we're talking about how to retain value with things moving so fast, specifically with AI. So really unique insights that we talk about in this episode. She's got a great level of depth to pull from. And so I absolutely love this conversation and look forward to sharing it with you. So thanks for joining me today, and we'll see you on the episode. How do you grow like a VC-backed company without taking on investors? Do you want to create a lifestyle business, a performance business, or an empire? How do you scale to an exit without losing your freedom? Those are the questions, and this show is the answer. Back with Stephanie Valenti for part two, and if you haven't met Stephanie before, let me give you a quick intro. She's a four-time executive operator. She's done annual forecasting, planning, and training for over 3,000 revenue executives at some of the biggest companies in the world. Last time we talked about turning chaos into something scalable, which I love. It evolved into the whole basically transition from small startup to scalable enterprise. And now for part two, what we're going to do is talk through how to retain perceived value when the market and the entire world and universe is moving faster than it ever has before. Stephanie, welcome. Happy to have you on the show again.
Thank you, Ryan. Happy to be here again.
Yeah, yeah. And if you missed part one, go back and listen to it. There's some great bombs she dropped in that episode that you're not going to miss. But let's talk about today, okay? So, you know, we're kind of kicking around the idea of just like how to retain that perceived value with the market, with technology like AI moving so fast. And I think the diversity of experience that you had across, you know, I should say B2C, B2B, enterprise is really good because it gave you kind of an anti-fragile mindset in terms of approaching growing a company or growing a business or even growing yourself, right? And so like, how do you retain that perceived value? Like, how do you make that happen? And we'd just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think I've been dealing with this in some way, shape, or form in every role that I've come into. Maybe it's timing. If I go back in my career and think about Staples, I was at Staples Business Division. When it was Fortune 100, it was booming. And then towards the end of my career, it's like, how can we continue to push paper as the world's going digital, right? Then I get into, Very, which is a commercial furniture company in the middle of COVID. It's like, oh yeah, we need furniture during office shutdown, right? So, and then even furthermore, you know, I go into a services organization that was really focused on inbound motion and content and design, and here comes AI, right? And so how do you, the question that you proposed is absolutely correct. Like, how do you continue to show or overshow the value as there's these disruptors and things coming into the market. It's one of the things I talked to my team quite a bit about during my services experience, where we are charging for content development, design development, and yet people are over here saying, well, I shouldn't pay that much for it anymore because I've got AI and they can write it for me in 2 minutes. Why are you charging me blank amount an hour, right? Mm-hmm. Or blank amount of points with an agency model. And you've got to think about what does the human element do that can supplement an AI experience. And so that was the training. It was, how much time does it take to edit? How much time does it continue to take to get brand and voice? And how can you show that that's a piece of value? How can you make sure that things are linked together? How can you add new services and values to embrace AI and then do that at a discount, manage the AI experience, and then bring something else in? So it's constant. The way I look at this, and I could do this with any phase, not just AI, it's constant creativity on a leader's part. How are you thinking outside the box to make sure that you're bringing value based on what your organization can provide? The other piece I'll say is I talk to a lot of CEOs on a frequent basis, and I won't say what company, but there is a certain company that was just talking about this, the CEO, and I stay in touch. I messaged him on LinkedIn. I'm like, how's it going? I haven't heard updates from you lately. It's more of a call recording AI conversational intelligence company. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's good. I have to move so fast on the product side to say, continue to be relevant and of the most, like the highest, most disruptive technology that I can to continue my growth. And I'm going to have a call with them to talk through the why or the how, but it's all constant creativity in the mind, constant. How can you add the value? So there's not I don't have a recipe, Ryan. It's not like the other one where I could give you a 3-step process, like in part one, mm-hmm. but it is sitting there and thinking outside the box and embracing what you can and coming up with new where you need to and failing fast and training well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough because I agree with you. I don't know if you saw some of the stuff that just came out. I guess depends on when you're listening to this, but that I you know, that's an evergreen piece of content right there. I don't know if you saw some of the stuff that just came out, but it's pretty mind blowing, right? You can use it over the last year, right? It doesn't matter. But it was the one where I think it was, I keep wanting to say it's Hume. I think it's Humane AI, where basically it tracks emotional intelligence in real time. So you could talk with it and it could track it in real time. You could actually have a conversation with it and it shows based on your statements, like what on the grid of like happiness, annoyed, whatever, like it's got all those abilities. It's a Series B company. And so there's situations like that just popped. Right. And there's like OpenAI with like the voice, basically recreator, where it could, you know, you give it 15 seconds of training and they could recreate your voice and talk in, you know, 50 different languages, right? So there's tools right. like that too. And all these companies are having API so that you can connect it into whatever your solution is. So
yeah.
It's like plug and play for anybody to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess like let's get back to it. I'm going on a bit of a diatribe here, but like, what would you say are like first principles, things that you would look at in terms of creating sustainable perceived value with a client? I have some ideas on my side, but I'd love to hear kind of like what your take is on that.
Yeah. I mean, in a client relationship and not in a prospect relationship, the strategy is a bit different, right? So you've already established some value at some point, enough for them at least to sign on a dotted line and trust you with their business growth or a tool, et cetera. And so understanding what that initial impact was that you had on the client is step one. What was it that made them actually move forward? If you don't ask that question, sometimes you don't know. Right? It could be something that you don't expect. You could think that they loved one part of your tool and it actually had nothing to do with it. Maybe you were lowest price or they valued the service and the experience more so than a competitor. And so really understanding that gives you no more crystal ball and guessing. It gives you the answer on what you need to focus on throughout the relationship that you are having with that client. And so that is step one. Ask the question and then continue to lean in on that over and over and over again. So let's say it was service and experience. You know that that person values client experience. Let's say that this account manager has a book of business of 500 clients, because this happens, big businesses, you have 500 clients in a book, and this client signed on with you because of the customer experience and attention they got. They're not going to get that anymore. This is where I think AI can play, right? Mm-hmm. You know that that client really values experience. So how do you supplement some of those human experiences with communication or content, right, that comes from you as the provider or the vendor with impromptu human interactions that's possible? Right. Or that's with a book of 500. So that's just a random example I pulled out. But that's one of the things that I would probably really focus on first.
Give us some other examples of what you're thinking about on that side. So are you, just to be clear, so you're saying basically just like you got a large bank of customers, but, you know, do the non-scalable things, the call, the voicemail on LinkedIn DM, stuff like that. Is that what you mean, what you're referring to? Or something different?
Not even that. Like, I guess it depends on the, it depends on the industry, right? Like, we could go into a lot of different DeFi verticals. In this example, where I'm saying you've got a customer that signed on, the reason you asked them the question, the reason they signed on was experience and support.
Okay, gotcha.
Right? And now you have this extreme book of business. How are you going to continue to give them the value of support that they required when you have 500 accounts?
Okay, gotcha.
That's where you could build a process to support giving that client continued value. I think to play on some of the other things that maybe you were speaking of, perceived value, right, is evolving and fast and talking about it. One of the things I think, again, and I said it a little bit in part one, businesses move so fast and always forward, which is fantastic, right? We're innovators. We're always looking forward to the future. But what about just taking a second in those forward-thinking meetings and talk about what's happening right now? How often are you reviewing your competitors? How often are you reading what AI is coming out? And how are you completely working with your product team at a rapid pace to make sure that you're bringing value to your clients based on the product? And then how do you deliver that information? How are you communicating it out? And so that's another thing I would think that is probably pretty important is people always say like, be lean and the word pivot, right? It's real right now. I don't know when we won't have to pivot again.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm starting to see patterns though, I think like, and here's some key ones that I'm seeing is like, I think there's going to be massive consolidation from users away from OpenAI on the corporate side, unless they do something different. Because if Microsoft and Google Workspace and Office Suite integrate AI in through Copilot and through Gemini properly, I think that's going to make their life really difficult. There was just a post I saw actually that OpenAI is trying to hire 150 enterprise executives over there. Sales executives, because they, I think probably the light has gone on that the B2C side has limitations to it, right? And if they really want to get in the corporate, it's not going to work the way that they've been doing it. So I don't know what your thoughts are in regards to that, but that's one of the things. Those are like pretty big moats. And then to put even more of it in, like you look at what's being delivered through the cloud, like, you know, Azure's got like Mistral, which is an open source, but then it's got OpenAI within Microsoft Cloud. And then at the same time, Google's got Anthropic and Gemini within their cloud. So basically, it's all kind of being consolidated, you know, in the cloud providers as well in terms of what's available. So, yeah.
It's, look, Ryan, I don't know if I could add, I think it's wild. I think we've got to move fast. I think we've all got to read and watch what's going on constantly and be able to embrace things quickly because nothing's going to stop what's coming. And so I think that is the basis of like, move fast, pivot, be nimble, but also slow down and really pay attention again to what's important to your customers. And I think if we go even to like what go-to-market strategies are working right now, it's the ones that AI can't replicate. Right? Mm-hmm. It's the human element. It's the co-selling. It's the sponsorships. It's the events. And it's no surprise why those are at the top. It's because it's human. And that can't be replaced, at least yet.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Yeah, I think like, you're right. The co-selling, the partnering, the events, you know, those are all things that right now AI can't touch, you know what I mean? Mm-mm. So I mean, there's ways where it could augment anything, obviously. Right. But, you know, there's a totally different experience. They even did a study, I think, like what your brain looks like if you're on a Zoom meeting with someone versus live. And I think there's like 70% or 170% increase in like the neurons that are interacted in your brain if you're live versus like if you're doing it just from an attention perspective. So I think totally agree. Well, we're just about up on time. One last thing, I think this would be good for anybody, and I'm curious too, is so when it comes to like continuous value creation for the businesses that you've been in, you know, in the different leaderships positions, I guess, like, do you have like a tactical routine that you leverage for that for you and your team? Because I think that would be awesome if you do to just share that And because I think that's what a lot of people struggle with when we talk about some of these sins, from going from like, you know, strategic to tactical.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, I have done this in different ways with every organization that I've been in, because I do believe that it's business specific. I will say that you generally don't know if you've lost perceived value until it's gone, if you're not proactive. And so you use the indicator of churn, right? Well, it's too late. So my first guidance is, you can never be too early in client communication at the executive level. So there is a tactical piece. One of the things that we did during my time in services is really splitting up executive ownership by segment. So we segmented our business. We had enterprise with the CEO. I was the CRO. So I had our mid-market, and then I put our VP in the small business. And we were responsible for constant communication and a cadence with those clients for proactive feedback on value, not a survey, right? Not a, do you feel like you're getting what you need? That's good if you don't have the bandwidth, but man, is it bigger if you can do it through a human. So I do recommend being proactive, but not just getting the feedback, doing something with it. So consolidating that feedback, looking for trends, and then doing something about that value or lack thereof of your client base. And so proactivity is key. After that, if you start to lose, then you're just playing catch up, and that can be a really dangerous game.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And that's really sharp, the segmentation of kind of ownership, because that's true. And people will definitely tell you a lot more if you have that live conversation, especially from an executive. So I think that's awesome advice, Stephanie. So thanks for being on the show. This was so much fun. I enjoyed having you on episode one and episode two. So appreciate being on the episode. Where can people find you? Where can they learn more about you?
Yeah, I am LinkedIn. I enjoy the platform. I'm also in a couple of different communities out there. So so if you can find me in community, you'll see where I'm posting. So I'll let that be that. But LinkedIn, please. Yes. If you message me, I will respond to you. And if you connect with me, I will accept.
Awesome. Well, definitely check out what she's doing on LinkedIn. I love Stephanie's content on there as well. See me participate on that. And really appreciate you being on the show, Stephanie. It was awesome.
It was awesome. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
All right. And I will see you all on the next episode. Thank you for checking out the Scale Up Show. My mission in life is to help founders and revenue leaders avoid all the pain and suffering in revenue growth, so they can flip it and create a life of their own design. So if you enjoyed this show, please like, review, share it on social, and more importantly, just share it with a friend. Share it with someone that you think could learn and benefit from what you heard on today. But the more we get the message out, the more people we could help, the bigger the impact we make, and the bigger the community gets, which helps everybody. So once again, thank you for being a loyal listener. I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.